Good morning. Good to have you here today as we gather for worship. If you're visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. We extend a special welcome back to Marilyn Glover, who's back at the organ today. And Marilyn, it's good to have you back with us. And just like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and just calling your attention to that, I do want to point out that next Sunday we will be recognizing our layperson of the year, who is Rosalyn Nowak, and tickets for that lunch that's going to be held after the service are available today, and today is the deadline for purchasing tickets. It is being catered by an outside group, so we do need to have an accurate head count so we order enough food. So looking forward to that celebration next Sunday. Also, in your bulletin, there is an insert for the One Great Hour Sharing Offering. You can see our goal here. We've increased quite a bit after last week, and thank you very much. We're still at just over $500 toward our goal of $800. So we do have a little farther to go before we meet goal. But we are receiving that offering this. We have been receiving that this May. Also, we've received a thank you note from the Refugee Immigration Ministries. Thanks to your support, Metro North Cluster had 5 congregations participating in our spring flower sale this year. We collected, after our paying for our flower bill, $729 for our RIM clients. Thank you to your church members who supported RIM by purchasing flowers and to those who picked up and distributed flowers on Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th. Good job and thanks. Also, there was a vigil and fundraiser for a community in Nepal that had suffered through the earthquake. That was held last night at First Baptist Church Lexington. And over $4,000 was raised during that fundraiser and vigil. And we celebrate that as well and want to continue to remember those folks in prayer as well. At this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let all things their Creator bless.
Worship Him and humble.
Praise the Father, praise the Son.
Praise the Spirit.
Our opening hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. Those who are able to stand, you're invited to do that as we sing hymn number 2 in the blue hymnal.
Oh,
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, you dwell in mystery and majesty. By your mighty Spirit, you renew and sustain all creation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, you reveal your glory and your love. Made bold through faith, we seek your awesome presence. Come to us in our weaknesses that we may be transformed by your strength. Send your Spirit that we may learn to love you and our neighbors with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and all our strengths. All glory to you, one God, now and forever. We offer all of this in the name of Jesus. We now pray as he taught, as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward for our moments together. Good morning. Put the microphone back on. It's good to see you today. And I know you're getting ready for Children's Day, so I know that's going to be part of your Sunday school class today, so I'm glad to see a few more students that haven't been here yet regularly, so I'm sure that Mrs. Smith is very glad to see that. And so this morning, though, I brought something with me. Do you know what this drawing is? A triangle. Why is it called a triangle? Shanice? It has three angles and three sides. Okay, great. And do you know what this is called? Do you know what this is called? Well, there are some triangles. You're right, Lily, and it's not that's what it's not called, but there are triangles in it. A stand. A tripod, okay. I have a collection of three books, and it's called a trilogy. And that's because it has three books in it. So, you know, I'm getting to the point with, you know, talking about threes today. Today is Trinity Sunday, and guess what that, you know, you get the first part of Trinity, T-R-I. We're thinking about God in three persons that we just sang about. Naomi? Right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for... Since the beginning of time, that people have been talking about, you know, their faith and religion and talking about Father, Son, and Spirit, beginning of Christianity, it's how do you define God? Is God three different people? But it's one God, but three persons. And I'm not going to pretend to try and explain that to you this morning either. Great minds over the centuries have tried to explain that. But we've tried to talk at how God relates to us in different ways. God the Father, we often think of as God as being a creator, making things. God the Son, we think of being in Jesus as being a savior. And God the Spirit, being with us always, being protective and encouraging us. So it's the way God relates to us as being in that. But it's difficult to wrap your head around it, and I'm not expecting you to be able to do that this morning. But this is Trinity Sunday in the church calendar. We've been having some special Sundays. We had 2 weeks ago, it was Ascension Sunday, and last week it was Pentecost Sunday, and today it's Trinity Sunday. We celebrate God in three persons, Holy Trinity. We just sang those verses, those words. And so I want you to think today, you know, as you have your Sunday school class, as you go home this afternoon, maybe not playing outside if it's wet outside, but just thinking about, you know, God and how God relates to you. Whether God, you think of God as being the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit? Or do you think of all of those at times? Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you that you come in various different ways to us. And we thank you that you come as a creator, as a redeemer, and as a sustainer, as Father, Son, and Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you come in the different ways, that at different times in our lives, that you can minister to us. And Lord, we pray that while we may not understand the whole concept of how you can be three in one, we thank you that you are a part of our lives. We pray that you will be with our students and teachers as they go to their classes, and be with us as we continue in worship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. We come to a time of prayer this morning, and with an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another, and then spend a few moments in conversation with God. And we want to continue to remember Lucille Berry and Lana Cooper. And Lana's home today because she's having to change caregivers again, and so it's a real struggle for her. So right now she's without a daytime caregiver. So we want to remember Lana and during that process as she's continuing to care for Lucille, but also that she can find competent, adequate care for Lucille so that she'll be able to have some respite and be able to come to church and do some things for herself. We want to keep them in prayer. We want to keep Cindy Huddy in prayer. Cindy's having back surgery tomorrow morning, so we want to keep Cindy in prayer and pray that the surgery will be successful, that the pain will be relieved, that she will be feeling much better after surgery. So we want to keep Cindy and the family in prayer today. We want to keep our sanctuary choir in prayer. Today is our last day for the sanctuary choir for the academic year, so they're taking their summer recess today. So we're grateful for the choir and all that they share with us and lead us in worship, and just we want to remember them in the prayer today as well. We also want to remember the flood victims in Texas and surrounding states, and also received word last night that Action for Boston Community Development apparently has received the grant for the Head Start program in this area. And they are having a community meeting on Tuesday evening at the Senior Center, trying to find out what Malden people think of what we need, what we see as community needs. So I would pray for the organization of ABCD. Grateful that they are taking over this program. We'll be in negotiations with a rental lease, but just the children and the families that are affected by the transition from TRICAP to ABCD, and just hoping that there's no one left, unministered to. So I want to keep the poor and the less economically advantaged in our community in prayer today as well. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Peggy, okay, so your daughter and son-in-law, Linda and Tom, we want to keep them in prayer as they're traveling. Okay, anybody else? Yes, okay, your younger brother, Jonas, has had valves replaced in his heart, and is getting ready to go to cardiac rehab. So I want to keep him in prayer as he regains his strength. Hopefully that's, renewed. Lisa. Friends of Lisa's that were involved in a head-on collision that they survived, but are going to have a long road of recovery. Yes, Govatak is home. That's good to have Govatak. Are you home for the summer, Govatak, or just great? That's great. So it's nice to have our adult children, come back to the nest a little bit and have a little time together. So that's great. Celebrate that. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Okay, a family friend, Heather, who's battling leukemia. So we want to keep her in prayer. Dindia. Yes, Bo Biden, the Biden family. We want to keep the Biden family in prayer today as the oldest son, Bo, died of brain cancer. Yes, anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, we come as your children, as part of your creation, to spend these few moments in prayer and these few minutes in worship you. Lord, it's good to offer praise and glory to you, but it's also good to know that we can bring our deepest, deepest concerns to you and know that you hear us. Lord, sometimes we realize or don't feel there's anybody in our social circles or within our family or community that we can bear our souls to. We thank you that you are always there, whether it's in the middle of the night, whether it's in the middle of a crisis, whether it's during a time of so much joy, we're just bubbling over so much that we just can't contain ourselves. We thank you, God, that you are there to share with us, to be with us. Lord, our relationship with you is unlike any other relationship we have with human beings, as it should be, for you are our God. But we also have the loving relationship, Lord, that you are holy and set aside, but also you are personal and close to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your Holy Spirit that moves among us and moves within us. And we thank you that you're always there for us. Lord, we lift up those today in prayer who are ill. Some are recovering from injuries suffered. Others are recuperating from surgeries or undergoing tests and treatments. Others are awaiting surgeries. Lord, we just lift them up to you and pray for your healing according to your will in their lives. We thank you for the knowledge and the skill that has been given to certain men and women that are able to use that to help us when our bodies are broken, when our minds are affected, when our spirits are displaced. Lord, we thank you that they are there to help us. Lord, we pray for those that are needing that today. We also pray for those who are traveling today. It's warmer weather, and it's nicer weather, and we just pray for those that are traveling today. And we pray especially for those that are in Texas and Oklahoma and the other states around that area that have been affected with deluges of rain and floods. Lord, for so long, many of those communities have been in a drought situation, and now that's been reversed in the opposite way. But we pray for those who have been affected by the rushing waters. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and those who have been injured. We also pray for the first responders and those who will be coming after them, who will be helping in the cleanup efforts. Lord, we pray that some of our One Great Hour sharing gifts may be going there, and we recognize that. And we pray that those that are benefiting from those gifts may know that someone cares about them, that they are not alone in their struggles. Lord, we pray for those who are in sorrow and mourning today because they have lost a loved one, whether through an accident, through a disease, through old age. It doesn't matter, Lord, whether it was an unexpected or an expected passing, that the death still hurts. The separation is still painful. We pray for those, Lord, that are in mourning today, that you may send your spirit of comfort and peace upon them. Lord, we thank you for our church and the many volunteers that help to make this organization run. Lord, we're especially thankful for the sanctuary choir who rehearse every Sunday and present songs of praises and inspiration for us in worship each Sunday morning. And Lord, we just thank you for their talent and their gift and their willingness to share that with us. We pray for blessings upon them, Lord, as they prepare to take a summer hiatus. And Lord, we thank you that Marilyn has returned as well. Lord, we just pray that you will be with our students and our teachers as they prepare for Children's Day, and be with us now as we continue in this time of worship, offering you all the praise and all the glory. We offer that to you, who is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three in one. Amen. We've prayed together, we've sung together, we have an opportunity now to offer our tithes and our gifts together to thank God for all of his blessings as the ushers receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, as we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we tell the story. Tell the story of Jesus' love, that others may come to know him in a personal way. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our lay worship leader today is Rosalind Nowak, and she'll be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. You may follow me using your pew Bible, and it's in page 602. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will I go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rosalind. Let's pray together. Lord, what a mighty vision Isaiah had, seeing you in all your glory, hearing all the praise being offered to you. and being part of that vision, being cleansed of his unworthiness. Lord, we don't know what to make of that. We pray that we might have that type of experience, perhaps not just like that, but we might be changed by having been in worship today, by being in the Holy of Holies, being in your presence. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us a word that may help us in our daily living, that may strengthen us and strengthen our faith. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. Whether you know it or not, we've survived palindrome week. Every date between May 10th and May 19th of this year, as written in a 5 or 6-digit month, day, year numerical format, was a palindrome. That means the numbers read the same forward and backwards. For example, 5, 10, 15 goes forward or backwards, all the way through 5, 19, 15. If you find this of interest and you missed out this year and didn't realize that you were living through this, just wait until next year in June, when we'll have another 10 consecutive dates that are palindromes. And I realize not everyone is as excited about numbers as I am. So if I haven't lost you yet, let's look at a few palindromes consisting of letters, words, and phrases that can be spelled backwards to make the same or other words and phrases. For example, we start out very simply with little three-letter words like Bob or Bib, Dad or Did. The same forwards or backwards. And then we go to a word like stressed becomes desserts. One we like, one we don't. Now we come to two words, race car. And three is an aria. No, I'm sorry, air and aria. One of the more famous and more familiar ones is Madam, I'm Adam. Or a Santa at NASA. Another one that's historical is a man, a plan, a canal, Panama. In addition to reversing letters, word units can also be reversed. All for one, one for all. If you find this interesting, you might want to try your hand at composing some palindromes yourself. It would be a nice project for a rainy afternoon. Some people have gotten so good at putting these forward and backward words together that there is now a competition. And the annual Simmies awards are presented for outstanding palindrome achievement. This past year's winners were announced on Palindrome Day. When else but 5, 10, 15? And one of the third place finishers in the short palindrome category went like this. Dog I made, man I named, am I God? Palindromes are fun to play with, and it takes a bit of a nerdy streak, perhaps, in order to construct them. Some palindromes, however, are so obvious that we may miss them altogether, and in doing so, we miss the bigger meaning behind them. One of the key examples of this is found in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah has a vision of God in the temple. The seraphs, who can best be described as fiery, winged celestial beings. Sometimes they're thought of as being angels, but they are attending the Lord and flying about the Holy of Holies, calling, "Holy, holy, holy," which is a word unit, read backwards or forwards, that stresses the emphasis of what's going on in the scene. The seraphs praise God backward and forward, proclaiming that the whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah is so shocked by this vision that he proclaims his own unholiness and is cleansed. And then he answers the call of God, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" with his own proclamation, "Here am I, send me." Or to express the same thought as a palindrome, "Here I am here." On this Trinity Sunday, we focus on the divine palindrome of a God who is three in one and one in three. It might be difficult to see the Trinity in Isaiah's vision, for Isaiah likely did not have in mind God as Father, Son, and Spirit. But when we read the text, we can see a couple of Trinitarian references if we're looking at it through the lens of Jesus in the New Testament and Christian history as we look backwards through it. Early Christian interpreters of Scripture were convinced that the whole intent of the Old Testament was to announce the coming of Messiah. And Isaiah's vision carries with it a sense of hope and expectation that when we see the fullness of God as Isaiah did, we see it in the Trinity. First, there is the threefold repetition of holy, holy, holy. We sang these words in the hymn earlier today, holy, holy, holy. And the word unit palindrome reminds us of God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The holiness of God, expressed in the person and work of the one and the three, becomes the central experience of Isaiah's call, and it continues to be the focus of the Christian life. We experience the holiness of God the Father as transcendent and powerful. We embrace the holiness of God the Son in his sacrificial love and for his people and for all creation. And we live in the holiness of the Holy Spirit, which calls people to service in the model of the self-giving love of the Trinity. Isaiah, struck by this vision of the fullness and holiness of God, experiences a deep change. The forgiveness of his sins and the commission to go and represent God to God's people. His message to the people of his day in total reflects the call of God to the ancient Israelites. Be holy as I am holy. Jesus echoed that call in Matthew when he said to his followers, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And the Apostle Peter wrote these words, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." A life of holiness reflects the life of the Trinity. The second Trinitarian echo that we find in today's text is when God says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The "us" here would have been for Isaiah the heavenly court, consisting of creatures like the seraphs who attend the throne of God. It's the same sort of "us" reference that we find in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." In John's Gospel, we read, however, that the Son, the Word, was present at creation. And thus the early Christians believed that the royal "us," or royal "we," included all of the persons of the Trinity. The one in three, the three in one. Holy palindrome has been present from the beginning and calling people to a mission that reflects the relationship and the vocation of the Trinity. In Genesis 1, God creates a community, a human family, to reflect the image of the Trinity and to care for all of creation. In Isaiah 6, the triune God commissions a prophet to go and carry out the vocation of being his messenger to his people. The three in one, the one in three God, invests in humans so that they too may be one in spirit and mission, while being unique individual creations in the image of God at the same time. However the nature of the Trinity is expressed, backward or forward, as the holy God who sheds his glory abroad on the earth through the humans he created. One of the finalists in the word unit category of the semis goes like this: fishing for excuses? No need. You need no excuses for fishing. God sent Isaiah on a fishing expedition to cast out God's message of good news to a people who were already experiencing the bad news of impending exile. Jesus came and called his disciples and trained them to fish for people. The Trinity is always fishing for people to send out on that mission. One of the great expressions of the nature of this fishing expedition comes from scholar and author N.T. Wright, who succinctly puts the good news of the gospel like this: God is putting the world right, so God puts people right, so that they might be his right-putting people. We see that pattern here in the text, today's text, in the call of Isaiah as well. God appears in the temple, the place where heaven and earth meet, with a mission to set his world right. God sets Isaiah right by forgiving his sin as the seraphs cleanse his lips with a coal from the altar. And then God equips Isaiah to become a right-putting instrument of God's will. It's the same pattern we see in the New Testament. God the Father and Creator is renewing his creation. God the Son, the Redeemer, sets us right and forgives our sins through his sacrificial death on the cross for our sins. And God the Spirit and Sustainer blesses us and enables us to become the people who are participating in the Trinity's right-putting mission. We need no excuses for fishing. The Trinity has given us all the tackle that we will need. Satirist and palindrome master Weird Al Yankovic says these words, quote, "The writing of a brilliant palindrome is a small miracle, and that, I think, deserves to be honored more than a lot of stupid and inconsequential things we often celebrate in our culture," end quote. Palindromes force us to think about the language and words that we're using in a world where people are often careless in what they say and what they think. The language of the Trinity, likewise, requires us to think deeply about the nature of God and the mission of God and what God has for us to do. The one in three, three-in-one God loves us backward and forward and calls us to remember the truth of another theological palindrome, dogma: I am God. That dogma is good news for us and for the world. May we accept God's challenge to us to go and fish for him. Let's pray together. Lord, you appear to us in many different ways. As we focus on the Trinity today, we see you as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, as Father, Son, and Spirit. Different relationships for each of us in different times. Lord, we thank you that we are able to praise you and offer all the glory to you. And in that, Lord, we realize that we are not worthy to even approach you. But we thank you through Jesus Christ that we are able to have our sins forgiven and that we are able to be cleansed and purified. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is always with us, not only comforting us, but challenging us, leading us, directing us, guiding us. And Lord, we pray that you, as one God, three in one persons, may always be the center of our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "Glory Be to God the Father," number 16. May the infinite love of our Maker, the compassionate love of our companion, and the persistent love of our guide surround each of us and give us joy. Amen.